New study has shown that office workers are only productive for 3 days a week. That's twice as much as my team. Research shows a poor night's sleep is the biggest cause of an unproductive day, followed by being too hot in the office, being surrounded by distracting colleagues. On a typical working day, 15 minutes are spent gossiping to colleagues. 14 minutes are spent looking at non-work-related content on the web. 8 minutes spent making tea and coffee for co-workers. So if workers are only productive 3 days a week, would it make more sense to extend the weekend? The commentators, Brendan Mulgrew and Paul Martin, with us this morning. Morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Stephen.
I've got to say, I think these figures, certainly from my experience in here, I reckon these figures are a bit light. Like, they're basically saying people only spend 15 minutes a day gossiping to their colleagues.
You're forgetting, and of course, one thing they don't talk about is how much time people spend on their phone WhatsApping and direct messaging their friends on their mobile phones at their desk.
Yeah.
Life has changed so much, really. I genuinely think it's about 50% less work done in the office now than there was even maybe 10 years ago when I was in the tabloid business. I really do. I think people are getting away with blue murder, actually.
There are different worlds depending on where you work, Brendan. And funny, I was thinking about this the other day. It was even before the survey came out, where I was. I'll tell you where I was. I was in Greg's, the baker's, in Manchester, and there was a queue out the door, and the people behind the till they were constantly serving, non-stop. And I thought to myself, my goodness, the experience of working in a shop where you're behind a counter. Or you're packing shelves or whatever, and it's constant, and you put in a hard day's graft. Compare that to some type of office job where essentially a lot of people sit and talk to their mates and have a wee cup of tea. They go for lunch. They maybe, knock about, do whatever they're doing, little play a computer game on their phone, and away they go again.
Stephen, the scenario you just outlined, that's not any... I don't recognise that as any office that I've worked in right now or in my career to date either. I don't think there's any big problem in colleagues having a chat amongst themselves as they come in to start the day, as they, make each other a cup of tea or coffee and have a chat about what they've been up to over the weekend. I think that helps produce a positive working environment and encourages people to get on better with each other. Of course, people work and do the work that they need to do.
You're honestly trying to tell me you can't
stand chatting all day, but you can't run an office where no one's allowed to talk to each other, Stephen.
Of course you can't. But this survey's suggesting that typical working day, 15 minutes spent talking to colleagues, gossiping to colleagues. Like, there's no way. It's far more than that.
I would say the amount of time I spend chatting to colleagues is more than 15 minutes. But when we need to get our heads down, get on with work, and I'm talking the other side of the coin, Stephen, is the office no longer is 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. When the work needs to be done, whatever time of day or night, whatever day of the weekend is, including the weekend, we get on with it. We deliver the work we're supposed to do. And I wouldn't run an office where people are discouraged from making your colleagues a cup of coffee. No way. That's not the kind of office I want to work in or be part of.
I think one of the great modern day cons of the workplace is people who have continued smoking and they get their 5 minute smoke break, which is now more like a 10 minute smoke break because they have to go outside to some special area and have it. Imagine having 10 cigarettes a day, 5 minutes per smoke break, or got an extra lunch break as opposed to everybody else who lives a healthy lifestyle. But I'll be honest about it. I get all my work done. I'm 39 years old. I get most of my work done by about 11:30 in the morning. I'm on fire. Literally on fire from 8 a.m. until 11:30, banging things out and working my backside off.
Nonsense.
No, I really am, and I think most people would relate to that. That is when you get all your proper work done. After that, it's all about networking.
What do you actually do?
Nolan knows exactly what I do. I'm getting my story list together. I'm reading contacts. I'm getting news stories together. It is a very busy job, but it can be done in much more condensed time periods. Do you know what? I don't work on a Friday anymore. I put my family first. I'd rather spend time with my kids when I was in the Daily Mirror. I worked very hard. I worked very late nights. Now I don't even work on a Friday. I think the weekend probably should be 3 days a week. People come in absolutely full of energy on a Monday morning, like I am today.
Well, bully for you. Lucky for you that you can take a Friday off.
But you work really hard on Monday to Thursday. You get loads of stuff done. Don't just dither about in the office on Facebook to your friends. And you can do that. You should have that luxury. I honestly think the 4-day working week is the future. Maybe even 3.
Brendan?
Well, I think Paul makes a fair point earlier on about the use of technology and the way it's changed the workplace and people have different ways of communicating with each other. But the other side of this survey is that the same technology means that we're checking our emails at nighttime, we're WhatsApping our colleagues about work issues long beyond 9 to 5. So I think there's a side of the use of technology, which this survey, and to be honest, I really put very little store in this survey or this study, and I think that ignores the element of people working way beyond what they may have worked in the past before the new means of communicating with each other all came along.
I think what worries me about that, and I don't disagree with that, by the way, I think it's very true about people taking their work home and always on their, they get, you know, email updates sitting at home around the dinner table on a Monday night with it. What worries me about that is I think that makes people less productive, not more productive. When you can't escape the workplace, when you can't get a break and give time to your family or your friends or just literally go off on the golf course, have 9 holes, whatever it is that you want to do, and you're constantly checking and keeping a tab on things through your emails or the likes of that or Facebook or WhatsApp, whatever it happens to be, you are not giving your best to your work because your work then becomes a chore. It becomes something that completely envelops your entire life. I've been in that position before in jobs that I've had in the past. It literally takes you over. And I think that your production, even though technically you're maybe never off, you're actually, your worth to the company and the effort that you put in and your actual enjoyment of your work majorly goes downhill as a result of that.
That can be made up for by having a working environment where people are not discouraged from chatting to each other when they come in the morning, having a chat through the day or making each other a cup of tea or coffee.
To come back to my first point, Brendan, do you not think that people in shops work far harder than people in offices?
Well, that's just an illustration, Stephen. You know, there's thousands of different jobs out there.
People
in hospital wards work in a different kind of environment than people in the shop, and people on building sites work in a different kind of environment than people in the office.
There's more opportunity to swing the lead in an office than what there is in the coalface, isn't there?
there may be more opportunity for what I would describe as social and positive interaction with colleagues. You're describing it in a different way, but actually, yeah, people choose different career paths.
I'm just wondering if the whole thing is skew-if, because again, if you're working in the retail sector, I don't know, tell me if you think I'm way off-piste here at home, 0-30-30-80-55-55, but again, if you're working in the retail sector, right, and you're standing behind a till, or you're packing shelves, you're working in a supermarket, whatever, you are probably one of the, relatively speaking, lowly paid. Yeah. You're not very well paid. And yet you're standing there all day. You're maybe getting an hour for your lunch. That's it. When you're on that till, if that shop's busy, you're working flat out. If you're working in an office, then you go for your little call to your wife or your husband. You pop up to the canteen. You get a cup of tea. You have your cigarette break. You wander into town. You do whatever it is you do. You talk to your mates. You maybe pop over to the gym. Who knows what else you do? There is far more room for slack.
It's less rigid than working behind a till, working on the shop
floor. So why are people in the retail sector so lowly paid compared to people in the office?
But at the same time, Stephen, I think it's worth pointing out as well that when you knock off in your shop at the end of the day, you're not that night chatting to work colleagues about what's being planned for the next day, what issue has arisen after the office closed. I think you're describing just two totally different working roles and working environments.
Stephen, can I ask you a question? How many hours would you honestly say you work in a day?
It varies.
Like, properly, yeah.
It varies a lot.
Right, okay. But on a typical day, what would you say between getting a show produced and holding your meetings and all of that?
Well, look, there's some days I get it really, really light. So there are some days I arrive in here, don't ever tell the BBC this, 9:15, something like that, right? Supposed to be here from 7:30, and I'm away again, you know, 10:45. Very, very rare, I've got to say, but there's some days that happens. Then there are other days I'm in here.
Sorry, did you just say that they're very rare?
Yes.
What time did you come in at today?
I was in here at 6 this morning.
That's a complete lie.
And there was a taxi driver shouting out the window to me. He said at 6:30 this morning, I thought you were a spoofer coming at this time.
There's no way. You come in at the last minute, you leave quite early as well. And also, sometimes you come in and you're working at about 20%. So you're here, but your head isn't really here. You're kind of...
Oh, nasty.
And he kind of gets a bit moody and temperamental. He gets overtired, and then the wrong thing to say to him is, you're in a bad mood and you're tired, because he will actually scream at you that he's not, which means he definitely is.
I mean, sounds like a six-year-old.
But remember that what I do, of course, is I work a 7-day week. So I'm trying.
That's your fault, though.
I'm trying to pace myself through a 7-day week. Where this lot. So this lot. Let me describe the Nolan team to you, Paul. Right.
Now be careful what you say, because I will. So I will take action.
Get this one.
I'm taking notes. Go on.
You wouldn't be the first. So get this one, Paul. Right. You ready?
I'm ready. Hit
so
me.
Vinny would arrive in here supposedly 7:30, probably 8:15, something like that, if not 8:00 in the morning.
That's not true.
All right.
It's a lie.
So the programme finishes at 10:30. 11:00, they'll all go up, the whole team, they will all go up to the canteen for a little cup of tea.
That used to be true. We used to take a break. Could you imagine after being in from 7:30? So that, we don't really do that anymore.
That'll bring them to about 11:45.
That's not true.
Then it gets to
10-minute break.
Wait for this, Brendan. Then it gets to about 1:00 and they want their lunch.
That's not true.
So then
we have our lunch at our desk every day.
Rubbish. And then it gets from 1 to 2, and then after 2:00, they're getting ready to go home, so they're on a kind of wind down.
Okay. How would you know whenever you leave at 10:30? How would you know?
I have to defend Vinny here, actually. I regularly get phone calls or texts about even coming on the show on a Sunday night at all hours.
Thank you, Paul.
So he's always switched on. But the point that you're actually making is a really good one. As long as they can deliver what you need them to deliver, it doesn't really matter what time.
No, they can't do that either.
Next of it. Yes, the thing is, Paul, at 10:30, he's away then watching some documentary that nobody wants to actually watch, making a documentary that nobody actually wants to watch on the TV, getting more money, double, triple, quadruple jobbing, and then he comes in here and complains that he's pacing himself out because he works 7 days a week. My point to you is, if you can't handle the workload that you have taken on and all those checks, then don't do so many, and maybe you can spend more time concentrating on less work.
I am just making the point, and I know I'm being repetitive this morning.
Oh well.
Because it is how it is doesn't make it right. I am asking again why people in the retail sector, who undoubtedly work harder than people in offices.
But they don't have pressure. There's no pressure in that job.
Of course there's pressure. What do you mean there's no pressure in that job?
There's no pressure. Not to pick anybody out here, but like, there's no pressure in flipping burgers in McDonald's. That is not a pressure
rubbish.
Job. So you should get paid for the pressure. That's why I think teachers and doctors are massively underpaid.
What utter rubbish.
There's no pressure in packing a bag for somebody and ringing a number into the till. They don't have to take on any of the.
So they're getting dodgy customers. They're getting because I've worked in a filling station for 10 or 11 years. They're getting dodgy customers. They're getting rude customers.
That's everyday life.
That's pressure, Paul. If the till is short at the end of a shift, then you're putting your hand in your own pocket. Certainly in some businesses, it comes out of your wages. You've the pressure of a boss. You know, even take it away from the till environment, you take a sales rep that has to meet targets every week, and they're having to sell. They've got targets. If they don't hit their target, they're on a very low basic, Brendan.
But it's not
and they've got big targets.
I think there are
a lot of people living in it. You know, people like your man here in front of me, it's Harry Gorilla. They're living in a fantasy world.
Sorry, hold on 1 second.
I asked Brendan that question.
I know, but you had a wee dig at me at the end of it.
How did you know I was talking about you?
She pointed at me and said, your man here with the hair.
Yes.
Look, the thing is, I have to work for you. So yes. If I told people what I actually, don't work for you, with you. Yeah, you like to think it's for, but it's not. If I told people what I actually earned and the fact I have worked, 6-7 years with you now, they would feel really sorry for me and demand I got a pay rise.
Brendan?
I think the jobs that Paul described and you described, there is pressure. Of course there's pressure working in a restaurant or working in a bakery or retail, but it is a different kind of pressure, which does, I believe, finish at the end of your working shift. So it is a different kind of job and a different kind of pressure. Every job brings pressure with it. And when I switch on the radio tonight, Stephen, that around about 10 o'clock or just after 10 o'clock news, who's going to be on by then? Who's Vinny doing his own show?
Yeah, but so, come on.
We can't describe someone leaving the building at 10:45 in the morning, but they're clearly preparing their own show for later on this evening. Bit of credit there, Stephen.
I do have to say, though, I think journalism is probably one of the top three most pressurised jobs on the planet. And it regularly comes up in surveys that being a journalist is one of the most pressured jobs you can have. So I count myself amongst the pressured workers. But I really genuinely believe that if every person was told to half their working hours literally overnight, they would still get as much done in that lesser time frame. I really do. Pressure is good.
Brendan, thank you. Paul Martin, thank you.